Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, dear listener, and welcome to Owning It, the Anxiety Podcast with me, Caroline Foran. This week, it's an episode that I've been meaning to get around to for a long time, something that I personally have been so excited about, and that's ASMR. So I have been searching high and low for an expert qualified enough to talk to me about this in an expert context. It's such a new thing. It's really only, I think, 10 years old. And I'm joined here by Dr. Craig Richard. He's the founder of the ASMR University. He's the author of the book Brain Tingles. He's a researcher with ASMR brain scans, and he's the presenter of an ASMR TEDx talk. He also has his own podcast. It's Sleep Whispers and Calm History. And I'll include a link in the show notes if you like his vibe and want to get your soothing ASMR action on after you listen. This episode is where we talk about what ASMR is, how it might help anxiety, my personal experience of it, the history of it, the biology of it, what's happening, what does a brain look like under ASMR, and all those really nerdy questions I was dying to ask about this thing that I have discovered that has been so massively beneficial for taking me out of an anxious moment whenever I get the chance to sit down and watch some of it on YouTube. If you're an ASMR fan, I think you'll enjoy this. If you're new to ASMR, I think you'll find it interesting, and maybe you'll be able to go and explore the kinds of ASMR triggers that work for you and see if it's something that can help you as well. I hope it does, because it is the best. Thank you so much for listening. Do hop over to me on Substack as always. I'm there at carolineforan.substack.com/subscribe, and I will be back next week with another episode. Craig, thank you so much for joining me on Owning It, the Anxiety Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you all the way from, where in the world are you right now?
I'm in Virginia, United States.
We are here to talk about ASMR, which is something that I have been searching high and low to find someone qualified, relevant, equipped enough to have this conversation with me. Someone who isn't just an ASMR fan. There are plenty of those out there, but someone who can help me shed light on and educate myself on what it is, why I respond so well to it, the science around it, what research is there to support it, why it's good for us biologically, the impacts of it. And I know that you're the person to have that chat, but could you, just to start, tell my listeners what it is that has brought you to this point of being an ASMR expert and how you work in that field?
Yeah, my journey started in 2013. I was in my kitchen listening to a podcast, like many of your listeners are doing right now. And this may be the first time they hear the letters ASMR. And that happened for me in 2013. I was listening to this episode, and they mentioned the term autonomous sensory meridian response. And it caught my interest at first because I'm a physiologist, and I'd never heard that term. So I tuned in. I was like, okay, this is curious. And they explained how there's these amazing videos on YouTube that are curing anxiety and insomnia. And that statement alone almost made me turn it off because it was too hyperbolic. And just to be clear, ASMR does not cure anything, but it helps with things. So I was very skeptical as I was listening until they started describing it and describing what stimulates ASMR. And they brought up Bob Ross. And Bob Ross is that painter with that soft voice. He was host of The Joy of Painting with Bob Ross. And I remember coming home as a kid, turning on that painting show, and his voice would just sweep over me and just relax me deeply. And the sound of his paint brushes relaxed me. And they said, this is an example of something that stimulates ASMR. And I said, oh my goodness. Well, what else? I almost started talking to the episode. Well, what else? They said, like light touches, other types of sounds, personal interactions with people with soft voices. And I'm like, yes, that's me. And that started my journey into ASMR because right off the bat, I went from being a skeptic to a believer and then wondering about the science behind it.
Yeah, I mean, that is always the question that I want to put to the experts that I have on in various different guises. It's all well and good to talk about something as a nice idea or, anecdotally say, well, it makes me feel good. But I suppose my listeners are coming at this probably from quite a vulnerable position of feeling quite anxious and overwhelmed. And I have been that person where I should have been more skeptical than I was, and I would have been like led down the garden path to believing that, if I just do this one thing or this one thing, I'll cure. Like you said, the word cure anxiety, and I was so vulnerable to all of that I really try where possible to seek out the science for people. And I know science isn't, it's not everything, but if there's more data there to support something as a possible useful tool that helps in some way for people to manage stress and anxiety, then that's where I want to go with it. So how have you gotten into the science of it, and how do you work with it today? Like it is, this is your profession, I suppose.
Well, the first thing I did in 2013 was I reached out to the woman who coined the term autonomous sensory meridian response because I'd seen that she wasn't just interested in running Facebook groups about it, but she was really interested in the science behind it and getting some data. And in 2013 and 2014, there was not a single published research study about ASMR. And for me, I wanted that to be my starting point. Which sounds similar for you and your listeners, like, show me the science. So we worked together to create a survey. We launched it out to people who were saying that they report ASMR, and we just asked them basic questions. When did you first begin experiencing ASMR? What does it feel like for you? How does it help you? And we ran the survey for a couple years because we wanted to get the more data, the better. And now we have responses from over 20,000 people who experience ASMR. And what we've been able to see is that we asked them in the survey, how does ASMR help you? And 88% of these individuals who experience ASMR responded with, it helps them to relax. 78%, it helps them to feel less stressed. And 74% of them said it helps them to sleep. Well, then we kind of added another important question, which is, and this may be true for many of your listeners, not all of your listeners may be struggling with stress. Chances are most of them are because that's the target of your podcast. But you just can't ask a general population of, does this help you to reduce your stress? Unless you know, are they struggling with stress? So we also asked a subpopulation who do struggle with stress, does ASMR help you? And 90% of those individuals who struggle with stress says it does help them to feel less stressed. And then the third aspect we looked at was anxiety. And you can't just ask people if something reduces their anxiety unless you know if they've been diagnosed with anxiety first. And so sure enough, in our survey, we asked them, have you been diagnosed by a clinician with anxiety? If they checked the box, yes, then we looked at their subdata to see how they responded to the other questions. And for those who were diagnosed with anxiety, 51% said that ASMR helped them with their anxiety. So far, we're seeing a lot of support for the helpfulness of ASMR. And it doesn't work for everyone. That's a key finding here. So I'm never going to say that if you struggle with stress, if you struggle with anxiety, ASMR is going to help you. That's not true for everyone. it may help you. It may be a useful tool.
So let's just rewind a little bit and go back to that the woman that you worked with who coined the term. What is ASMR? Why did she call it? Let's break it down. Why did she call it this? And because, I mean, from my experience, I finally can put a name to it, and like a sort of I can create a and it's a context for me to understand what I've been feeling all my life. I'm thinking, is no one else feeling this? And it was just very certain specific things, and it would feel incredible, and I'd be chasing that feeling and not knowing where I could get it. And now I'm like, oh my God, thank God somebody has described this. And now if I could go back in time and use it, all the times that I would have felt overwhelmed or anxious, because I am someone for whom it is really, really effective, it would have been a complete game changer. So let's talk about exactly what it is.
So for the woman who coined the term, her name is Jennifer Allen, and she coined that term in 2010. And the reason she came up with that term is because the most common term before that was brain orgasm. And the problem with that term, as you can imagine, is it's misleading. It doesn't feel like an orgasm. It has some similarities to it for the relaxation aspect. But you're really going to be misleading people
Well, they're going
if
to
you
think
tell
that it's
them,
really sexual, yeah.
if you tell them, watch this video and you're going to have a brain orgasm. Well, they may not even want to watch that video because they might be worried about the content of that video. Her other concern with that term is how are scientists going to take this seriously with the term brain orgasm? So she came up with this more scientific and clinical sounding term for it. Autonomous sensory meridian response. And she chose those terms because they loosely refer to aspects of it. So autonomous, meaning like automatic, sensory, meaning you're having sensory input. Meridian was a euphemism for orgasm and response because it's a response. So she chose those terms, and people were already understanding what it meant and what it felt like. So from 2010 onward, people refer to this mostly as ASMR. And the feeling they're referring to is a feeling of deep relaxation, usually accompanied by these sparkly, pleasurable brain tingles. And these are different from chills. They're often described as on my scalp, under my scalp. Light, they might go down the back of my spine, they might go down my limbs. And overall, people are saying that this feeling of relaxation, just like almost any form of relaxation that helps you reduce your stress, is helping them to fall asleep a little more easily, deal with the stress of their day, and however relaxation things help them.
For me, I mean, I even feel like describing it as like deeply relaxed isn't enough, because it's like I've been plugged into something, and it's a sort of a it's a, as if you took a pill of some kind to just like send these feelings through your body. It's not just that you're it's not just the absence of stress or feeling like sleepy or relaxed. It's such a like it's a sensation almost. It's like something a presence that I can feel. It sounds kind of weird way to describe it, but I don't know where I got this from. But is there anything happening in like what's happening in the brain? Is there like some kind of waveform that's triggered when you go into this meridian response state that is can only be achieved in that deep relaxation? Like what does a brain under ASMR effects look like?
There have been at least three published studies that did EEG or brain wave studies. And so they just looked at what the brain waves were doing while someone was watching an ASMR video. And sure enough, those brain wave patterns represented waves of relaxation. So if you did something else to someone and put them in a relaxed state, you'd see a very similar type of brain wave pattern. They've also done brain scan studies, meaning fMRI studies, in which you look at which aspects or regions of the brain are active while someone's experiencing ASMR. And there's been at least three published studies of these brain scan studies. One of them was co-authored by myself. In our study, what we had was people watch an ASMR video while they were in a brain scanning machine. And when they felt the tingles, they would press a button. And when the tingles and the deep ASMR stopped, they would release the button. And that would tell us what time points to look at their brain activity to correlate with their experiencing ASMR. And what we found is, sure enough, there are specific regions of the brain that are active during ASMR. And then the next step is more theoretical, because no one's looked at the neurotransmitters that are directly involved with ASMR.
Nobody.
Nobody has yet.
Wow.
So my biggest theory is that it's probably strongly associated with and due to oxytocin.
Yeah.
And you probably heard about oxytocin. It's also referred to as the love hormone, the hug hormone, the trust hormone. And so, for the regions of the brain that were active during ASMR in our brain scan study, sure enough, those regions are rich with oxytocin receptors. So I do think oxytocin is central to this response. And there are lots of studies about what stimulates oxytocin and what oxytocin does to the body. And all of those other studies support what we know about ASMR. So the things that stimulate oxytocin are one-on-one positive personal interactions, like giving someone a hug, being nice to someone, hanging out with your best friend. And those are all similar to what stimulate ASMR. It's these caring, kind moments between individuals. And the response to, if you give someone oxytocin or you give an animal oxytocin, is it puts them into a relaxed state. So
Okay.
chances are, I think oxytocin is central to the response.
I suppose so. We have to just hypothesize about that for now. And if oxytocin is, the main thing going on during ASMR, there's not much room for, cortisol and adrenaline, which means it makes sense then that it would be hard to feel like it's very hard for me to feel anxious. No, you can't have both, at the same time,
Right.
which is why it's such a lovely respite from your normal functioning, your normal brain, how whatever's going on. Do you know yet if the effects of ASMR are just felt while you're doing it, or are they cumulative? Like if you get into a habit, like what is the, well, answer that question for me first, but then also, in your experience, is there any overlap between the practice of doing that and, say, meditation, for example?
So the first question was, how long does the effect last?
Yeah, or is it cumulative?
Yeah. So it does linger for a little bit. And so you do experience, say you're watching an ASMR video, you're feeling the ASMR, you're feeling the relaxation. Once you shut that video off, some studies have shown that that feeling lingers for minutes to hours, but not for days. What is the longer term benefits of that? That's not clear yet. I did see this one published study at which they measured anxiety in groups of people that were anxious because they were about to undergo surgery. One group of those individuals they showed ASMR videos to, and the other one they didn't. The ones who watched the ASMR videos had their stress lowered. They then went through the surgery. And then they measured their post-operative blood pressure, which is an indicator of stress. And the individuals before surgery who had watched the ASMR videos had lower blood pressure after the surgery without watching another video than those who hadn't watched the ASMR videos before the surgery. So that is one support of this. Even if you can't feel that relaxation, and I'm not sure if those patients did, something does remain after the ASMR video, that a little bit of changes to your brain chemicals to result in you possibly being more biologically relaxed for a longer period. But that amount of time is not known. I think you're also wondering if it's cumulative. I think some people would say that once they started watching ASMR videos, they had a stronger response to it. Some will say that. I would think what's going on is you're finding videos that are better at stimulating it for you. So imagine you came across a food buffet and you found a piece of food that tasted good. Well, then you might find another piece of food that tastes good and you find more things on this buffet that taste even better to you. And that's what happens with people in ASMR videos, is you find one ASMR video that works and you start looking for even better ones that work for you, because it is personalized, like food. You have certain things that are strong triggers for you as an individual that may not be for someone else.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
On the flip side of that, there are a lot of people who report being able to experience ASMR less after watching a lot of videos daily for a long time. And what they would call it is ASMR immunity, but a better term for it is ASMR tolerance. So think of it this way. Visualize yourself, you're eating your favorite food. Oh, it is. Like for me, like Reese's peanut butter cups, whatever you want to imagine. And you eat that first one, it's like amazing. And then you eat the second one, it's amazing. And then as you keep eating them, they get less and less amazing to the point of they really don't taste as good as when you started. That's tolerance in a way. And that same thing can happen to ASMR videos where your brain is saying, okay, we've had enough of this type of stimulation. We're not going to be as responsive for a while. Take a break and then come back a little bit later. So yeah. You will hear about this thing of ASMR tolerance.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. Sometimes I think I go a bit overboard and I'm like, I just want to like stay in this headspace. And then it's like, no, I've kind of gotten the most out of it. And now, you know, there's whatever is done is done.
Yeah.
Something I don't know if you've come across is, but for me personally, I find what really matters is the context in which I watch ASMR. So like if I try and show a friend, oh, this is like a type of ASMR video that I really like, and I'm watching it, but I'm watching them watch it, I can't feel any of it because I'm not relaxed enough, because I know that I'm like, are they getting this? Do they think I'm weird? If I watch it, funnily enough, at nighttime, when I'm fully ready and willing and wanting it to be really effective, it's not as effective for me as if I watch it during the day when I should be a little bit more, when it's not ideal. Like, for example, today I was watching some videos during the day and I would every now and then watch one if I know that I have like an hour break. It's my new way to relax. But it's so much more effective for me during the day because in my mind, I'm like, you cannot afford to get this sleepy. You need to like stay on. Whereas at night, I'm like, come on, like hit me with the good stuff. And maybe it's because I'm allowed to now. It's like I find it harder to to feel it to the extent that I would. That's just something I've noticed. Definitely. And if my husband is, he's like, oh, you can watch your little videos beside me. I'm like, no, you can't be here for it, because then I get conscious that you're like, what is that absolute, you know, crap that she's watching? Because he doesn't get it at all. And I've had to learn that, you know, well, I'm very grateful that I am one of the people who get it, but is it like one in five people, only one in five people are capable of experiencing ASMR?
So like almost any relaxation technique, context and environment is very important. Imagine you're getting the world's best massage, but you're getting it in the middle of a rock concert. There's a lot of people and there's a lot of noise. You're not going to enjoy it as much as in a quiet room with a flickering candle with someone you trust doing that massage. It's the same for ASMR. You need to be in a place where you feel comfortable. You need to be, or you should be, in a relaxed state already, and it will bring you into a more relaxed state. Even if you know you're in a stressed mindset, to be in a relaxed environment helps you. When your friend is watching you, or you're watching your friend watch your favorite video, you're stressed because you're hoping they like it. Like I feel that, like when I recommend a TV show to someone or I recommend a food to someone, I always feel a little bit stressed. I'm like, are they going to like it? Or are they not going to like it? Well, that's heightened arousal. You've put yourself in the opposite direction of ASMR. And so you're right. Context and environment are very important. So people are most easily able to experience ASMR in a place they're comfortable, that's quiet. If they're watching ASMR videos, then they're by themselves and they don't have anything else that they're worrying about that they need to run and attend to. And so context and environment are very important. Mm-hmm. And then you had a follow-up question.
It was about the one in five stat that I had heard before about the people who are capable of experiencing it, right, in the first place.
Yeah, so there's been only one large-scale population sampling done at showing people ASMR content and seeing if they experience ASMR. And sure enough, that showed about 20% of the population can experience or do experience ASMR. And this may explain why there is a risk when you show your friend your favorite ASMR video. There's two things that could go wrong there. One, they may not be able to experience ASMR. They might fall into that, say it's 70 to 80%. Or that specific video is not for them. So it's not good for you and your friend to conclude when they watch their first video that they don't experience ASMR. Again, it's like going to a food buffet. That first piece of food you pick up, maybe that's not tasty, but you want to keep sampling. So for that 20%, to know whether you're in the 20% or not, you really want to sample a lot of ASMR videos, because the ASMR artists in those videos, they have different personalities. They do different types of triggers. They have different styles. And so it's about finding the right one that does work for you. If you've sampled 100 different artists and 1,000 different ASMR videos, and you've never felt any kind of special relaxation, then you don't experience ASMR.
I am curious, is there a link between, so there's people who experience ASMR, so they get deep relaxation. And for me, you know, it's the soft voice. It's even hearing their mouth, you know, like their lips sort of touching, and a lot of the sounds and sensations and noises that some people would find actually so infuriating. I think misophonia is the word for it, where it's like, oh my God, I can hear you, like your mouth, I can hear you chewing. Sometimes I can get a hint of that sometimes from some people, maybe if they're close to me and I'm like, not, if I'm on edge. Do you think if you experience misophonia, like, or is there a link between misophonia and ASMR? Because it's like, one side of it is loving it and one side of it is like, absolutely get away from me.
Yes. Initially, the thinking or the thought was that misophonia is the opposite of ASMR. So you either experience ASMR or you experience misophonia in reaction to these same triggers. But the data is showing something different. There's been at least two or three published studies that have shown that people who experience ASMR are more likely to experience misophonia, and vice versa. People who experience misophonia are more likely to discover that they also experience ASMR. So what's common between those two is hypersensitivity to sounds and certain triggers. Okay. But how they differ is one will give you the response of deep relaxation, and the other will give you a response of annoyance, anger, and this very extreme negative feeling. Mm-hmm. And you're right, I get the same way. There's a lot of things that stimulate my ASMR, and there's things that set off my misophonia. And it can be such a switch that happens. And it's very strange. But it seems like our brains, you and I, are set up to be hypersensitive. And that might be more connections. So they have done brain scan studies of individuals who experience ASMR and or misophonia. And they do. They have more connections and more communication that's happening between brain regions, which is what gives us this either heightened relaxation at one moment and or heightened annoyance at the other moment.
Wow. Do you think that there mightn't have been a study done, but do you think like there'd be some commonalities among all the people who are capable of experiencing ASMR? Like they might, like you say, like they might be more sensitive. They might be more prone to like feeling things greater than someone else, you know, more switched on in that way. Do you think like that study is coming where we can see, like, I mean, it's no surprise to me as like I'm a very creative person, I'm a very emotional person. I feel things greatly. It's no surprise to me that like even the people in my life who say they don't get it, like I'm like, yeah, I get that you wouldn't get it. And like, of course I would get it. And I feel like I'm a bit of a, you know, crazy person sometimes. But do you think there's a perfect candidate for it?
I don't want to say the word perfect candidate yet, and because I'm going to use some certain words and people may not like these words.
Okay.
There have been at least 4 to 5 published studies on personality types. And there are certain personality types that are more likely to experience ASMR. One of those is neuroticism or being neurotic. So yeah, that sounds negative, but here's why I think that result, though on a statistically significant level, is appropriate data. It's biased population. Because who's more likely to reach out and try to find a relaxing video?
Exactly.
Someone who's, right, struggling with neurotic moments and the stress that goes with neuroticism, whether that's been clinically diagnosed or not, but going through those challenges, they're more likely to seek out relaxation videos, find ASMR videos, and therefore discover they respond to ASMR videos, and then check the box, yes, they experience neuroticism, and check the box that they respond to ASMR. So I think that's biased.
Yes.
And here's the other support for my theory of those being biased populations. The other personality trait that shows up as common to people who experience ASMR is the personality trait of being open to new experiences.
That's a good one. I'll take that.
So who's more likely to find ASMR videos? People who are open to new experiences and will try those ASMR videos where they've seen a headline of new, these things called ASMR videos are helping people to relax. Who's going to follow through on that and look that up? People who are open to new experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if we've identified or come up with a clear way to know ahead of time, proactively, if someone is going to experience ASMR or not. If there will be a tool for it, I think it might have to be at the biological level. Going back to oxytocin, one of my theories is that people who are more likely to experience ASMR may have more receptors in their brain to oxytocin, or they have other parts of the brain that are more receptive to the signaling of oxytocin. Whether they produce more oxytocin, they have more oxytocin receptors. So could there be a day at which you run a simple test on somebody and then say, hey, there's a 90% chance you're going to experience ASMR?
Mm.
I think that day could happen. And I think one of the things would be like a biological test for looking for certain genes that the person may have, or polymorphisms in their genes, certain genetic sequences that are associated with experiencing ASMR.
So oxytocin is very likely a big part of ASMR and how it works and why it feels good. From my limited knowledge of oxytocin is it's like a the it's like a social hormone, the bonding hormone, like the love hormone. So I guess I wanted to move on to different kinds of people say triggers is the word. When I first started seeing ASMR come up online and these videos that were going viral, first of all, I didn't understand it at all. It was like they were really satisfying videos of people chopping things or like organizing things in a really like cutting cakes in a satisfactory way. And I was like, yeah, I can see that that's like it's appealing, but it's not making me like go into this state that I'm being told about. For me, it was always there was always a social element to it of a person's voice, the personal attention, someone taking care of me. And the videos that I respond the most to, it's never just someone like blowing into a microphone or like trying to make forced sounds that tick trigger boxes. It's very much a subtle getting me into the state of feeling or the sense that I'm being taken care of, that someone is communicating directly with me. It doesn't matter if it's artificial. And like in real life, it's when, like you say in your TED talk, going, to the hairdressers and having someone do that, or someone doing an eye exam or something like that. To me, it's weird because on one hand, we say the context of being alone and relaxed is so important. Then there is a social element to it, but I don't understand triggers that work for people that are like not social, that don't have the other human part of it involved. Because how does that make them produce oxytocin?
Well, when I said that you need to be alone, I was talking specifically if you're watching an ASMR video,
Yeah.
because that ASMR video represents the other person in a digital format.
Okay.
Otherwise, in the real world, every single one of those ASMR videos is simulating how you would experience ASMR without a video, which is someone sitting in front of you, giving you positive personal attention. And so all ASMR videos deliver that idea, which is it's positive personal attention from a kind or caring person who's showing in some way that they care about you and they're going to help you. And that causes you to relax because this is someone that you can trust. This is someone that's good for you. This is someone you shouldn't run away from, which is a stress response when you want to run away from someone. So when you see someone cutting a little cake very carefully, when you see someone playing with kinetic sand or making something or sorting their little treasures, like a little collection of thimbles that they have, and they're sorting them, what your brain is subconsciously registering is that that person in the video is taking time out of their day to dedicate that time to you, and they're showing you something that's very important. Now,
Okay.
today, you consciously know that someone sorting their thimble collection or cutting kinetic sand is not really helpful to your survival. Your brain doesn't know that. Your brain evolved that when someone is carefully doing something with their hands, so picture people in the woods hundreds of thousands of years ago, and one person is preparing a fish for cooking. Or one person is showing how to pick berries off a tree and the other person is watching. When someone is focused on a task and they're allowing you to watch or they're showing you something, your brain is saying, this must be important. What they're doing is going to be helpful for me. And so, what you call calmness and relaxation is your brain's way of saying, don't run away. Don't get stressed. This is not fight or flight right now.
Yeah.
This is relaxation. But it seems silly today because our brains evolved so long ago for hundreds of thousands or millions of years under situations where watching someone do something carefully and them allowing us to watch them or them showing us was helpful to our survival, that we passed that on so that way our ancestors didn't run away from those helpful situations. But today, we get a lot of silly YouTube videos of people folding napkins. And unless you're going to open a napkin folding business, that doesn't seem like it's going to be important. But it's not what they're doing. It's the fact that they're taking the time out of their day, which is what your brain is responding to, and showing you something that seems very important.
Why do you think this has become such an enormous thing online? Like the people who are now ASMR artists whose entire, I mean, they're probably making serious money from YouTube advertisement. Why is it still such a sort of under the hood thing? How come I found it so hard to find even articles written about it?
It might just depend upon where you're looking. There's some people who feel that ASMR has not gone mainstream yet.
Yeah.
There's some people who feel it went mainstream 2 years ago. There's some people who felt it went mainstream 5 or 10 years ago. Everyone has a different perception of where they think ASMR is in our culture. One way, if you just want to see the rise of ASMR, just go to Google Trends and just type in ASMR, and you'll see the rate at which people have searched for the term ASMR for the dawn of the word, since the dawn of the word ASMR. And it's risen steadily since 2010, of course, that's when it formed, but it will amaze you at how steadily it has risen. And it continues to rise because people are still discovering it. But the key reason that it is maintaining this popularity and growing in popularity is simply due to one word: helpful.
Mm.
When people are searching for something that is going to help them relax, enough people who are doing that search are ASMR sensitive and respond positively to those videos, that they then are converted. It sounds like an extreme word to use, but awareness, they now are aware of the helpfulness of ASMR and that it helps them. It's not for everyone. There's a long laundry list or a menu of relaxation techniques. ASMR videos and ASMR, that's just one of many. For some people, if something doesn't work, they try ASMR and it works for them, then they've found a new relaxation technique on their menu.
I am so delighted that I have been able to add it to my relaxation menu, like you say, because I struggled for, I mean, I've been an anxious person, you know, in ebbs and flows throughout life, particularly as a teenager, when I didn't understand it, I didn't have any awareness of it. I thought there was just something wrong with me, like, why can't I be like everyone else? Then it was kind of okay for a bit, and then I had a really bad phase again, and I was just doing and trying everything, and the ease with which it can affect me and downregulate my stress response. I don't need a study to tell me that that's what's happening, because I can just feel it happening in my own body. The ease with which I can access that relaxation, you know, cost free, drug free. I'm not taking anything to achieve it. Like, it blows my mind that it's this tool that we kind of almost have within ourselves access to, and that I want to make as many people aware of it as possible, should they be someone who would respond to it well. If someone's listening to this and they're saying, I'm so jealous, I wish I could, you know, I wish I could experience that, what would you say to them? You know, it's not a case, like you say, it's not just like, you don't just try one video that your friend said they liked. And then, so where would you say someone should start? Because there are so many different triggers. I mean, I know I respond to really kind personal attention, positive reinforcement. Like, what, even just the words, you know, if someone's doing like a makeup video or something and they're like, oh, good job, or just even that must go back to like being a kid and being told you were doing a good job, and that makes you feel safe, and that makes your threat response stand down. I mean, it just, there's so many layers to it for me. But you know, for someone, it could be watching vegetables get chopped. Where would you suggest people, I suppose, start, or what questions to ask themselves if they want to see if they might be eventually someone that ASMR could be of use to?
Yeah. Start on YouTube.
Yeah.
Search ASMR and then start watching videos. Be prepared that the first one you watch may not be one that works for you. They may not have the personality type. They may not be doing the trigger type that you'll find. But I've heard so many people say that, you know, I didn't think I liked ASMR until I found and fill in the blank because it varies so much. Until I found this guy who taps on empty cups. Until I found this woman who cuts kinetic sand. Until I found this artist on YouTube that does these clinical role play where they pretend they're giving you an eye exam and they tap on this little eye chart. And it just sends my brain into these deep relaxation waves. You have to go into it, or it's helpful to go into it with an open mind that you're ready to sample everything on the food buffet before you conclude that you don't experience it. And chances are you will find. I think that 20% is an underestimate because in that study, they only used one content, which means all these people, and there were about 10,000 people, they listened to one audio track and they watched one video. And then they were asked, did you experience ASMR? That is not a food buffet. So
No.
20% responding to just one specific video and one specific audio content, that's pretty optimistic. That may mean that perhaps 30 to 40 to 50% of people might be able to experience ASMR. We just don't have the data for me to say
Yeah,
that percent number yet.
it has to be because I mean, you know, talking about the survival instinct and the need to feel safe, like we're all wired that way. I mean, there has to be more of us who benefit from that feeling of feeling extra safe. And it's just kind of, I guess it feels bizarre to have to go find it on YouTube, you know, these days. It feels like some sort of subculture thing. It's very weird when I try to explain it. I'm like, you're going to think I'm nuts to someone who doesn't have a clue what I'm talking about. But it to me, it makes perfect sense. You know, when you think about that, the survival, the drive to survive, and then the need to feel safe, and how, like, it's giving you an opportunity in your day to just let everything go on hold. I did want to ask you your thoughts on the crossover or any relationship with meditation. Like, meditation is obviously different. How does it differ?
The way I summarize the difference is that when you go into a meditative state, for the most part, you're putting yourself into that state.
Okay.
Now, you might be in a meditation group, but
Like, what if you're listening to a guided meditation?
yeah, then I think that's ASMR.
Okay.
If someone else is putting you into a relaxed state and they have a calm voice and they're giving you positive personal attention, then that's ASMR.
Okay.
If you're putting yourself into that relaxed state, so imagine you're sitting by yourself in a room, cross-legged on a mat in a nice dark room, and you have your eyes closed, and you're putting yourself into a relaxed state, to me, that's meditation. So I think a lot of things that we've called meditation, like guided meditation, actually fit the definition of ASMR. They fit exactly what's happening. And if you watch a lot of these ASMR videos, there are a lot of them in which the person is doing a guided meditation. So is that ASMR or is it meditation? To me, I call that ASMR because someone else is putting you into a relaxed state. And that's what you're responding to, that positive personal attention.
Absolutely. Tell me about what tools you're offering people who are into ASMR with your work, what people can access that you've done.
Yeah. So one of the challenges for me has always been falling asleep. I also have a very stressy, active brain. I feel like I have all these squirrels running around in my brain all day, which is okay because that keeps me busy. I get to do my objectives. I get things done. I can be very high energy. But then when I lie down to sleep at night, the squirrels are still running crazy. I can't fall asleep. I've been that way since I was a kid. So initially, I used ASMR videos. And they were great, except the light from the ASMR video was kind of inhibitive. Or if I just turned it away from me, I could hear them doing things and I'd get curious to look at it. So then I turned to podcasts where it was just audio. And I found some podcasts. I'm like, oh, these are great. I like the person's voice. But I wish there was one that was just pure whispering. And I found this one guy who did like pure whispering. Podcast. That's all he did. He whispered every single episode, and it was amazing. And that stimulated me to create my own whispered podcast. And it's called Sleep Whispers. And I just whisper in every single episode in a gentle, relaxed way. Sometimes I'm reading a bedtime story. Sometimes I'm reading an old food recipe. Like, it doesn't always matter. It's just that relaxed voice. So I started Sleep Whispers podcast about 7 years ago.
Wow.
And then I found myself also wanting to listen to history in a relaxed voice. So about a year ago, I started a non-whispered relaxation podcast called Calm History. And in this one, I just tell stories from history in a calm voice, because some people don't like the whispering. It is very more niche as a form of ASMR than a calm, relaxed spoken voice. Mm-hmm. So now I kind of offer these two choices. If you want whispering, check out the Sleep Whispers podcast. If you want a calm voice, then check out the Calm History podcast.
And in terms of exploring more into the science of ASMR, are there any studies that you're hoping to get involved in or things that you would like to see done in this space in the coming years?
Yeah. For myself, you can probably tell I'm pretty excited about the oxytocin hypothesis. Mm-hmm. So I have ordered some primers. They're DNA measuring tools, you might say, that you can do PCR on people's genes to see if they have certain sequences in their DNA that would indicate they might be more responsive to oxytocin than other people. So I haven't started those studies yet, but to me, that is a very important next study to do, is look at this genetic predisposition, perhaps, which could explain why some people experience ASMR and why some people don't. Mm. For other studies that I would love to see done that have not been done yet, is something you brought up. You mentioned the stress hormones, adrenaline and cortisol. Well, you and I at this point would probably strongly predict and guess that adrenaline and cortisol are lowered in people who are experiencing ASMR. Mm-hmm. No one studied that. No one's looked at that. It's such a basic study to do, but no one's looked into it. So I think those basic physiological studies, and then I really want to see more clinical studies, mm-hmm. at which you recruit patients who have been diagnosed by a clinician with anxiety or insomnia. You enter them into a clinical study and you compare the effects of ASMR videos to other current evidence-based methods. So whether those are medications, things like even meditation and breathing techniques have been shown through clinical studies to be effective at lowering anxiety and helping people fall asleep more easily. So how do ASMR videos compare to these other evidence-based methods? I'd like to see more clinical studies done like that.
Me too. I want to see it get the attention it deserves, especially if there's such an overlap between, you know, if we're calling it guided meditation and it is in its purest form, you know, mm-hmm. the ASMR thing. Has your friend who coined the term made like all the money she deserves to make for having spearheaded that, or is she fuming because the rest of the world is capitalizing off her?
She is an extremely intelligent individual who, when ASMR first came on the scene and the first awareness started in 2007, that she got involved with it from an organization viewpoint. Mm-hmm. She's never created ASMR content. She's never made videos. She never has made podcasts. She's never written a book about it. She totally came at it as someone needs to organize this. So she created Facebook groups. She improved the terminology. She created other smaller groups and organizations. Mm-hmm. And then she moved on. She doesn't do a lot of work today central to ASMR. She's actually in cybersecurity, which supports my view of how intelligent she is, because if there's one area worldwide that needs more intelligent people working on it, it's cybersecurity. No, she's working on other aspects and other topics of her life right now.
Craig, where can people find you if they want to look up, I guess, you and your work and get links to your podcast and everything? I'll include them in the show notes, but are you active on any social media?
I have a website.
Yes.
So ASMRuniversity.com.
Amazing.
And that's where I put up a lot of information about ASMR. So if you want to know about the history of ASMR, it's on ASMRuniversity.com. If you want to read interviews with top ASMR artists who have millions of viewers, then that's on the same website. I also post studies, research studies that are going on right now that are looking for participants and or results of research studies. So you'll find almost everything you could want to know about ASMR at asmruniversity.com. And
That
my
is
contact
why
information is there
I
also.
found you, and that's why I was so delighted to have you on this episode, because I've wanted to have all these questions answered for such a long time, and I've not been getting anywhere. I have neuroscientists that I would be on to regularly, and I'm like, will you talk to me about this? And they're like, we don't really get it. We don't know. We don't know what to say about it. We don't know any of the research. I was like, going insane trying to get it the attention that it deserves. So we are obviously very ahead of the curve, and the rest of the world just needs to catch up.
Yes,
But
exactly.
thank you so much for your time.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and press-on falsies.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The easiest way to access Owning It Real Time is to head to the link in the episode description or episode details, whatever you call them, show notes. You will find the link in there at the top. You can sign up right away for Owning It Real Time and access the full library of 10 situation-specific audio guides that will help you own your anxiety even more than you've ever done before.